Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, joined by CJ Vogel and Jerry Hamilton of On Texas Football. This episode of State of the Program brought to you by Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. We appreciate Adam and his sponsorship of the show. Guys, the State of the Program, we do it once a week, and it's our look, overarching look of the Texas program and where things are at. We're in the midst of recruiting. We're also in the midst of the team returning from a couple of weeks off. They've got started. They've been back about 8 days now, 9 days. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about recruiting with these next two weekends coming up. Between 30 and 40 prospects going to be on campus in Austin. But we want to look at it not necessarily on a week-by-week perspective as much as a overarching view, like I just talked about. And what Jerry and CJ and I talked about beforehand to kind of go over with you guys today was this idea of what Texas has left. Right now, the Longhorns have 11 commitments and probably can go to 25 this year. And it depends on how many they want to take out of the portal, et cetera. But they theoretically could go to 25 this year, we think. But they're at 11 right now. So what does Texas have left in this recruiting class? What do they have to get? And what you'll see as we go down this list overall, I think, is that they still have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of meat left on the bone in this recruiting class at specific positions. In fact, I'll start it, CJ and Jerry, with the first two positions, which are the only two positions at this point that are filled. And that's a quarterback. They're only going to take one quarterback, KJ Lacy. Okay, that's done. Running back, they're only going to take two running backs. They've got two, James Simon out of Shreveport and Ricky Stewart out of Tyler Chapel Hill. Okay, beyond that, there's not another single position where they're more than halfway there right now. And so there's a lot of meat left on the bone in recruiting. And Jerry, I'm going to start with you and start at wide receiver. Right now, Texas has no commitments at receiver. They're probably going to take three or four. They've got a ton of guys coming in this weekend and next weekend. They had one in last weekend. What are your thoughts on that situation at wide receiver? They're at zero right now. They're probably going to take, what, three to four?
Yeah, I think three to four. And the question will be, look, DeCorian Moore's number one. I mean, people are – Texas staff's honest. They told people he's number one. So he's there. He's visiting this week and obviously Oregon next week. And I think Texas and Ohio State probably is where that decision comes from right now. But we'll see after Texas and Oregon visits. I think there's about six guys that are above the line of a couple others. And that is DeCorian Moore. That's Jamie French, who I think Texas continues to feel confident about. He visits Tennessee this weekend, which I think could end up being the competition at the end of the day, barring something crazy at Miami. Then there's Kalik Lockett, who was at A&M last weekend. He's at FSU this weekend. He'll be at Texas next weekend, as will Jamie French. Then there's Kelshon Johnson from Hitchcock, who was at A&M last weekend. He's going to A&M or Texas. He may go to that USC official visit June 21st through 23rd. He's at Texas this weekend. Then there's Tanook Hines, who was at Texas last weekend, is at Notre Dame this weekend. I think those guys are kind of a line above. And then you have a guy like Dallas Wilson out of Tampa Tech High, who's committed to Oregon, who's visiting Florida this weekend, that Texas tried to get on campus for an unofficial visit. He canceled the last second. Texas had that one planned out. They were bummed about that one. But then you have – he's a guy that could wait until the fall because he's got an official visit tentatively scheduled with FSU in November. So I think those guys are above the line. Does that mean Daylon McCutcheon's not a really good player? No, he's a very, very good player. Does that mean Andrew Marsh isn't a quality prospect? He's a quality prospect. But I just think this year in Texas with where it's at receiver recruiting in the state and then out of state, I suspect you take three or four, and I would suspect it's three in-state, one out-of-state if it's a four-man class. The problem, it's not a problem. It's a first-world problem is if Texas has, it's going to be hard for Sark to walk away from a Kelshon Johnson or a Tanuk Hines. They're just too explosive, too fast, too good of prospects. And in his case of a Kelshon Johnson, that means he goes to A&M if he doesn't play for you. A Tanuk Hines probably goes to Notre Dame. So that maybe that's the difference there, right? But there's just so much speed in playmaking in this class in state. It's going to be hard it's going to be hard to walk away from a four-man class if it goes your way.
Let me ask you this, CJ. Do you have any questions or follow-ups to Jerry as it relates to wide receiver there that you're thinking that could play or be a nuance of all of this?
Yeah, my thing is, you know, we've seen Texas pursue some of these five-star elite wide receivers. If Texas is able to get perhaps a DeCorian Moore, a Jamie French, does that deter another target away from the Longhorns as a result of, these are big names coming in. They're expected to get a lot of targets. That volume share in the offense is expected to at least be, directed to them at some point as well. So is that a deterrent from a number of other prospects to join the Texas class as well?
Yeah, interesting. So like a Jamie French, if he commits out of Jacksonville, where does that push a Kalik Lockett? I get it. And whose timeline are we waiting on here?
Exactly.
I think that's the other thing that we got to talk about all these receivers.
Bobby, I think the easiest thing is say, hey, 3 5-star receivers could end up at Texas. You know, that doesn't take into account NIL, what you talked about, when guys commit and how does that change the conversation for others? Because it does impact the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Ryan Wingo's a freshman at Texas, by the way, absolutely. Not a junior about to enter the NFL.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, guys. All right, let's talk about tight ends. CJ, I'm going to ask you to go over those. Obviously, Emory Winston out of Georgia is one commitment that the Longhorns have. We think they're going to try to take two. So right now they're at 50% of what they're going to try to do, right? Last year, they really only got Jordan Washington. They need to take two this year, if at all possible. They had Caleb Edwards in last weekend. They've got some other guys, Keyote Armstrong. Nick Townsend seems to be a priority as well. What's your thoughts on tight end position at Texas, CJ?
Yeah, certainly one that's a really interesting spot. Of course, Texas was fortunate enough last year to see the progression and development early with Jordan Washington this year, though they still want to. And so I look at Emory Winston and seeing a December commit. That's pretty early for the Texas Longhorn staff. So it kind of, that indicates to me that they liked him very early on in this cycle. Obviously, they want two guys in this class. Bringing in Caleb Edwards a week ago and then the week of the June 14th officials coming up, they'll kind of have a break from the tight ends because then you go to June 21st and you'll see Winston come back in for his official visit. Nick Townsend, Keyote Armstrong. So that'll be the big telling weekend of when and how Texas goes about its tight end recruiting as well. Who gets the most attention? Is it the commit? Is it the two guys that are still up in the air? And I know Texas A&M is big players for a couple of them, LSU, Oklahoma. These are talented ball players. How do they offset and kind of complement one another is another question as well. We know Emory Winston is kind of that slasher kind of hybrid tight end prospect. He's not the biggest, only about 6'3" and a half, but he can really fly. How well does he play next to a Keyote Armstrong or a Nick Townsend as well? And so that'll be interesting to see what that dynamic is like. Obviously, Caleb Edwards is headed to Auburn, Alabama, and Oregon currently for the remainder of the month. So there's a lot of wide openness in his recruitment. Sounded like it went well this past weekend when he talked to Jerry following his visit as well. But this June 21st through 23rd weekend is going to be very telling with what Texas goes or what direction Texas goes in when it comes to the tight end spot.
Jerry, you have any comments on that?
Yeah. So I think we got to somewhat factor Michael Terry in there as well as an athlete, right? That's the one kind of caveat to this is look, Texas. Talk to him about just being an athlete. So if he actually went Texas's way, what are the chances he could end up being a tight end a la Amari Nye? Like, I think it's over 50-50. If he wants to be an offensive player, that's where he would end up long-term in my estimation. So that factors in as well with tight end. So the bottom line is Texas has 4 tremendous tight end prospects not committed. And I'm calling Terry an athlete, but for this conversation at tight end, let's consider him a potential tight end. That's 4 tremendous prospects. You won't find 2 better athletes that are tight end prospects. Michael Terry, if you're listening, I'm not saying you're for sure going to do it. If than Nick Townsend and Michael Terry in a class. Give me a break. I mean, those guys are elite, elite athletes at 6'3", 227, 230, and 6'3", 217.
Sub 11 as well.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, that makes sense to me. I also wonder, you know, where is Amari Winston? Is he he's taking other visits still too?
Visited Auburn.
So there's a possibility here that he, I mean, we don't know for sure, but he could peel. And then you're looking at just in-state guys and or Caleb Edwards, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. All right. Before we go to the next topic, which is going to be offensive line, Jerry, I'm going to ask you about that. I want to say thank you to our sponsor. Every Wednesday's State of the Program brought to you by our friend Adam Lowy at the Lowy Law Firm. With more than 20 years experience, you want to give Adam a call if you've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, car wreck, motorcycle accident, or ATV. Give him a shout if you think you might be due compensation. Adam, once again, thank you so much for your ongoing sponsorship of On Texas Football. Guys, let's talk offensive line. And Jerry, I put this up for you. Three commitments so far of what should be five or six spots. And the commitments are Jackson Christian and then the Coleman brothers, Jordan and Devin, right?
Yep.
So where do you think Texas goes with these next two? Those are all interior guys, most likely. So John Mills is out there. You got Nick Brooks, Michael Fasusi, Lamont Rogers. They got to get some tackles in this class, clearly.
Well, that's pretty much it. You're down to those points now. Jordan Coleman's seen as a right tackle or guard, right? Probably leaning the guard. John Mills, right tackle or interior guy. Nick Brooks from Iowa, tackle, sees himself as a tackle. The key there is because one of these guys start their career guard and then move out the tackle in year two. That happens a lot in college football. I mean, that's happened with some really good players, Evan Neal, Lael Collins over the years. You start your career guard, move out the tackle. I'm not comparing either any of these guys to that. Then you have the true tackle, Michael Fasusi and Lamont Rogers. Well, so Rogers, Nick Brooks, and Mills are all in town this weekend. I think Texas leads for Mills until I'm proven wrong on that, unless he just decides, him and his family decide Washington's the play. He's just been too expressive about liking the thought of playing college football in the South. So that puts Texas in a pretty good spot. Let's just say Texas won out for Mills. Then it comes down to Fasusi, Nick Brooks, and Lamont Rogers.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
And I think, like, receiver, I think Sark Flood would have a hard time turning down a six-man class if two of those three wanted to jump in. Now, I mean, that's just too much talent there. I mean, Lamont Rogers, upside offensive tackle that was at A&M last weekend, is at Texas this weekend. Fasusi was at A&M last weekend. He's at OU this weekend, Texas the following weekend. And Texas could have five guys committed. If Fasusi says he wants to join the class, they're not going to say no. Good luck in College Station. It's not going to happen. Nick Brooks is the total wild card because that's gone from this kid's head of the Georgia, if not Iowa, to now Georgia or Texas is going to get this guy. And it could go almost either way. This isn't Daniel Calhoun in Atlanta where, you know, we're pretty much told behind the scenes from the Georgia side, nah, it ain't happening, but Texas is going to finish second. Nick Brooks is more open than that, I think, even though he went to high school in Atlanta for a year. Georgia's signed 11 offensive linemen in the last two classes, including six tackles. That plays in to that third class in a row where you're trying to recruit a big number of offensive linemen, which Georgia is. So I think Texas, if they have five, if they get Mills and either Brooks or Rogers, and then Fasusi said he wanted in, well, that just turned into a six-man offensive line class. So we'll have to see how it plays out.
Got it. Okay. All right, let's go to edge. Switch sides of the ball. CJ, go with you here real quick. Right now, Lance Jackson out of Texarkana, the only commitment for the Longhorns, Pleasant Grove High School. And he's visiting this weekend. But we think Texas wants to take two or three spots, right? Who are some of the names that they can look for? And how are they doing with those players to try to fill them at this point?
Yeah, you got to look back a week, right, for the first guy. That was Javion Hilton out of Florida, currently committed to Florida State, but he made it known after his June 7th through 9th official visit at Texas that, hey, things moving forward, it's going to be Texas compared to Florida State. Those two visits are going to be something that he sits back and reflects on moving forward in the month of June and into his recruitment to see whether or not a move does come. Texas put its best foot forward with him and his recruitment. His mom was in town, so was his sister. So they were able to see what Texas had to offer as well. His mother told Jerry, actually, like, hey, Texas is a spot I kind of want him at in the next level. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of that as well. He said that visit in Austin, you know, superseded what Florida had to put on the table as well. Of course, Florida State and Miami are coming up for him this month as well. So that's one of them. A really talented ball player there, of course. But then you start looking ahead to this week, and this is a big opportunity for the Longhorns, maybe to silence some momentum that was put forward by Texas Tech with Smith Orogbo. There were a couple crystal balls put in for him following his official visit last week. This is a really high ceiling prospect, maybe a bit more developmental than what we're seeing from some of the other edge prospects in the class so far. But again, we've compared him to Arakpo at times. You know, this is a guy that has those innate athletic tools that you're able to get out of after a year or two of development. So that'll be a big one as well. Hayden Lowe, we do not believe, is coming in to campus this weekend after committing to USC a week ago. So that leaves Marco Jones out of California for the week of June 21st through 23rd. Texas, again, going out west, coming in with another edge prospect, very lengthy, great explosion off the ball. So between those four, are you able to get two or three? Texas already has one. To me, Smith Orogbo is one of those key rotation or kind of vital pieces in this guy, in this class for the edges. If they're able to land him, I think you're sitting with a very, very talented, high ceiling duo at the edge position.
I really like Smith Orogbo. I've said that from the outset. I just love the speed.
Bobby, I was going to throw a question to you. If I said in a month your edges were Lance Jackson and Smith Orogbo, you'd be a pretty happy camper.
I'd say let's go. Yeah, I mean, those are two of my guys. I mean, they really are. I think that Jackson is more of that inline guy, even though he has the outside speed. And I think Orogbo is – I mean, there's not been many guys that remind me of Brian Arakpo at his age. That's who he reminds me of. Very raw at that same age, just now becoming a football player, all of that stuff. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be Brian Arakpo. Don't get me wrong. I'm just telling you. That's who his film looks like to me in high school. You could just see him every year improve. And then, so you don't even know what his ceiling is yet.
Yeah,
because he hasn't shown it.
Yeah,
it just keeps going up. So, yes, Jerry, I would agree with you. Let's go to defensive line, Jerry, and have you answer this one. Right now they have one commitment, Brandon Brown, who, you know, is dallying with others. Yeah, if I could put a hyphen on this graphic right now, I would, right, or italicized, excuse me. One commitment for three or four spots at defensive line. It's going to be hard to get to four.
Yeah.
Where do you think the Longhorns are right now? Obviously, Brandon Brown in this weekend. Some other guys they're looking at.
Yeah, so what's interesting about the Texas D-line recruiting to me is they didn't schedule Chase Sims for an official visit to this point, and I think now it's probably too late. You don't want to ever say too late for as far as guys are going to decide here in June. They haven't gone back in on a kid like Floyd Guidry, who I think is a really good player committed to TCU. They didn't bring in Derry Norse, who I think is a ton upside at Spruce Creek there in a Daytona Beach area, Port Orange. So what that tells you is it's deep sea fishing for Steve Sarkisian. And last weekend I thought it was interesting to bring in Sharma and Meyer Charles to get a true feel for where they're at in those two recruitments. And I think by them not scheduling a Chase Sims or anybody else this week, Texas feels like, hey, we're in the fight. We're going to see these things through. See what happens with Josiah Sharma, who will be at Oregon this week and in Alabama next week. And the toughest hurdle Texas has with Josiah Sharma is him telling Kalen DeBoer and the GM over there at Alabama, Courtney Morgan, no. That's a longstanding relationship.
They're in good shape there. They're in good shape there.
Yeah. I mean, look, Texas is in the battle. They're in the battle. They're in the battle with FSU for Meyer and Charles. We'll see if Miami could hurt FSU a little bit this weekend down in Coral Gables. Although I'm not sure if the kids ever go to Coral Gables on these visits. They go to Miami. But then you have, look, Kevin Wynn is a big one this weekend for Texas. He's a wild card. I went to see him. I love the kid. He's a culinary guy. Being a chef is his goal outside of football. He wants to be an NFL football player, but he wants to be a chef one day. I mean, look, if he could be on a Gordon Ramsay show right now, he'd go on. That's how much he loves it. So he's never been to Austin. He's never been to campus. So is my question there, is Austin going to overwhelm a small-town Georgia kid from Greensboro? Not to mean he hasn't been to Atlanta before, but it's different when you grow up in Greensboro, Georgia, and the schools you're considering are in Athens, are in Tallahassee, and are in Columbia, South Carolina, which is where he was at last weekend, compared to Austin. Totally different world. If that is somewhat if that becomes appealing to him after seeing Austin, I think Texas can actually win that recruitment. But it's going to come down to, I think, things that aren't involved with football here. Not that Kenny Baker, the presentation, Sark, and those things aren't going to matter. But I think it's about Austin. What could the city of Austin, as far as the restaurant industry, do for him and possibly down the road? If Austin's not overwhelming, I think Texas is going to be a major player for Kevin Wynn, but he's never been on campus before. Then you have Brandon Brown.
I got to ask you this, like, as I'm going through this, right now Texas has those guys plus DJ Sanders of Belleville coming in. They got to hang on to Brandon Brown. They want to hang on to him really badly, right? Then you get a Josiah Sharma, potentially add a Charles or Wynn. Somebody like that. And then DJ Sanders is kind
Zion
of
Zion Williams.
Zion Williams also. I forgot about him out of Lufkin. Those are the guys kind of that Texas is circling in on.
So I think at wide receiver, I kind of got long-winded there, and thank you for stopping me. I think there's five guys above the line. I think it's Brandon Brown, who you're going to battle LSU on. I think there's Myron Charles, who you're going to battle FSU. Josiah Sharma, who reminds me of Sean Rogers, by the way, you're going to battle Alabama there, maybe Oregon, probably Alabama. Then you have Zion Williams, which you're going to battle LSU. And those guys, I think, are above the line Kevin Wynn. Those five guys. I think DJ Sanders is a good prospect, but farther away, more of a developmental guy. But again, they haven't had any other official visitors. So they're taking their swings with these five guys above the line here. They're saying, we got to figure out a way to get two or three of these guys. I think it's going to be tough. I think if Texas gets two of five, I don't think there's enough shots on goal here. I think if Texas got two of those five, it's a hell of a haul at defensive line, because those are all Texas versus Bama, Texas FSU for a kid in Florida, Texas versus Florida State and Georgia for a kid 40 minutes from Athens. Zion Williams is Texas LSU. Brandon Brown's Texas LSU. Both those guys have two-year relationships with Bo Davis. And Zion Williams likes the pine trees in Baton Rouge. And oh, by the way, his girlfriend's going there. But these are national battles. So if you could go 2 of 5 on those, you've done well. I just don't know if they got enough shots on goal because Kenny Baker didn't come in until later in the game coming from the NFL.
CJ, what do you think about D-line?
I think it's a bit of a tough spot, right? You know, it's Kenny Baker coming in for his first year. Obviously, Texas wants to go out and, as Jerry said, go big game hunting here. They want to land some of these game-changing defensive linemen. The thing is, you know, for the state of Texas, there are some talented players. I wouldn't say anyone aside from Zion Williamson is a guy that you can expect to be a big-time multi-year starter at the University of Texas and at least being, you know, that instant all-conference conversation, whereas some of these out-of-state kids with other relationships that pre-exist that of the hiring of Kenny Baker, it puts Texas behind the eight ball. And I talked to a kid in-state last night, actually, who was kind of considering Texas for a little bit, now taking official visits elsewhere, doesn't currently have one scheduled with the Longhorns. He just straight up told me, he's like, yeah, you know what? I really like Texas. I liked what they had to offer. I just had a better relationship with pre-existing coaches. And so I think that's something that is, you know, Texas is trying to overcome at the moment. Not saying it's an impossible hurdle. And again, Jerry just laid it out for you. Five guys, you get two, you're doing great. Get a third, great class. So certainly something that I think is overcomable. You just got to pick your pieces basically and find ways to get guys in the boat.
Yeah, they need to find a way to keep Brandon Brown as well. Yes. BJ, going back to you here on linebacker, right now the Longhorns have a commitment from Bo Barnes, who I think is one of the better prospects in the entire state, a young man out of Dallas Skyline. For two or three spots at linebacker, probably Riley Pettijohn, a big piece of that, potentially at McKinney. but they're also bringing in a pair of other guys, Jonathan Cunningham this weekend, and then a young man out of California as well. Do they need a certain type of linebacker to go with Bo Barnes here? Do they need more of a chaser linebacker that can play in space? What are your thoughts there, CJ?
Yeah, I certainly think so. And when you look at Riley Pettijohn, obviously, I think he is the prototypical mold to throw next to Elijah Barnes. Both of them ran sub 11. Barnes actually at 10-7. So that's tremendous ground covering skills if you're looking at it from that perspective to get sideline to sideline. Of course, Barnes has been in the ear of Pettijohn for quite a while. Going back to the spring game, they were talking about playing together, committing on the spot. Obviously, Pettijohn wants to go see his official visits. Took one to USC and Ohio State earlier this month. And, of course, Texas A&M is trying to get him and his family members on campus for a visit later this month as well. So I think that's what it'll come down to as well. Texas has done a great job coming into this official visit month as well. But then you start looking at what's next for the Longhorns. Is it Jonathan Cunningham? Is it Manfermo out of California? We talked about Matai Tongai earlier this week. He just committed to USC, and it doesn't look like he'll be taking those official visits he had scheduled as well. So to me, if you're looking for a certain type of linebacker, it's Riley Pettijohn. If you're looking for a guy that can play maybe that outside linebacker spot, maybe a Mo Blackwell mold, I think Jonathan Cunningham can do it. And I think, hey, Manfermo at 6'3", 230 pounds, that's a guy you could throw in the middle of a field in the SEC defense and expect good production. I'm a big fan of his. He can lay the wood. He can get sideline to sideline. That's a big-time prospect. So we'll see where things go after this weekend. And, of course, him coming in, Fermo coming in June 21st to 23rd, if Texas is able to get some more pull, no one on the staff has been hotter recruiting-wise than Johnny Nansen. So that, to me, feels like it's right down his alley to make a big impact and splash out of a national recruitment.
Jerry, any comments on linebacker recruiting?
Not really. I mean, look, I think Pettijohn, if you had told Texas you're going to get either Barnes or Pettijohn, you just said, oh, that's great. But now that you have Barnes in the boat and Pettijohn being considered a Texas lean for most of the spring, now you're like, okay, we have a chance to get both these guys.
Let's get greedy.
Yeah. And Manfermo, total wild card, but I think he's a stud. But is he not going to go to Notre Dame is the question there. And I'm a big fan of Jonathan Cunningham. The question there would be a timing thing. So I know Texas wants three linebackers, but I don't think they're going to reach for a third linebacker. If they take three, they feel like they're all NFL prospects at that position.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Makes total sense. All right, corner nickel is going to be the next discussion. And, Jerry, I'll go to you on this. Obviously, just got the very first one yesterday in Caleb Chester out of Fort Bend Marshall. True corner prospect, long arms, all of that stuff. But this is of all the spots, this one seems most interesting because Dorian Brew, who Texas had hoped they were going to have a real shot at here, has yet to reschedule a visit with the Longhorns. After nixing one over the weekend and heading to USC instead, he's going to Oregon this weekend. And then the next week, he's headed to Ohio State. Is Texas just going to go out of state after Caleb Chester and go after one of the California kids or Aiden Anning out of Ruston up in Louisiana?
Yeah, so I actually just checked the DM to make sure there's nothing new on Brew, and there's not. So we got to consider that a long shot right now. I mean, since he's not scheduled for an official visit, I think Texas loves Aiden Anning. They have for a while. And I agree. I actually think Aiden Anning is a mid four-star level prospect after senior video and after everybody gets done with the evaluation process. I think he's going to be a top 200 level kid in the country. And I think Texas or Miami there, right? Devin Williams, the sleeper, kind of coming, is scheduled to be in next weekend, but he's going to Auburn this weekend. He's out of Buford, Georgia, where he's committed right now, Auburn. So Auburn will be fighting to not let him get on campus. You know, then you have DeJuan Lee. I mean, look, if it ends up being a midweek next week, that's just not a Sark thing. Same thing with Dorian Brew. So it's going to be interesting at corner to kind of see where this goes. Right now, there are no clear answers. You know, you have Caleb Chester in the boat and you think you're in a good spot for Aiden Anning. But beyond that, more questions than answers.
Well, this Tristan Castro is not a guy that we had heard a lot about. And he's set for an official visit this weekend. He's committed to USC. It's another California guy out of Upland.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry, it seems like the cornerback recruiting right now is very, I don't know the best way to put it. It's not that they're not going after elite guys. They are. It's just, it looks like you don't know which way the really emphasis is headed right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think it's because of the uncertainty around Dorian Brewer, even sliding on Dorian Brewer. Because 2 months ago, 3 months ago, he's been the top guy on the board, top guy in Texas, top guy on the board. If you don't get that guy, what does it look like? But here's what I'll say about that. And this is going to be my closing. You know what? I'll save it for my closing argument here at the end, because I want to bring up some names and make a point here for Texas fans and recruiting in general. But so, all right, I'll readdress this at the end.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I'll go to CJ on safety then. How about that? We do that.
Yeah.
CJ, your thoughts on Texas. Right now they have no commitments at safety. They will have, we hope, something here soon, but we don't know for sure. But right now they're at zero commitments at safety. They have two spots available. What's going on there?
Yeah, there aren't many prospects coming in. You know, they're not casting that wide net at the safety position. It is a bit more, precise with where they're headed. Of course, Jerry, you mentioned Devin Williams, whether or not he's a corner safety at the next level. Cade Phillips, I think, also kind of fits that kind of mold as well. But then there's also an interesting name, and we'll see if this is locked in before the weekend or before the end of the month, and that's Nathan Tillman out of Mansfield Timberview. Texas had been in communication with him earlier in the month. He earned his offer June 1st, and immediately it was kind of whether or not I do have time to get down to Texas. Not a for sure. It's more up in the air. He had his slate of officials kind of scheduled out for each weekend this month. Texas wanted him to get on campus. They had been in communication with him. I believe he was immediately out to a 7-on-7 state qualifying tournament and was on the phone with the Texas staff the Monday and Tuesday after he earned his offer on Saturday, June 1st. So Texas was pushing a little bit there for the SMU commit to get down to campus. We'll see if that's the case there. But aside from that, of course, it all comes down to June 21st through 23rd and where these guys truly fit at the next level. Of course, Texas still doesn't have a commitment locked in for Jonah Williams. And at this point, I don't think it's going to happen. I think Texas A&M is the heavy favorite in that recruitment right now. I think you could actually see some movement for Jonah Williams to announce here soon for Texas A&M. So to me, safety is an interesting spot. Luckily, you go back to the 2024 class, and Texas added a pair of really, really talented safeties headlined by Xavier Filsaime. So it's not of the most dire need at the moment. Of course, you still have an extra year of Derek Williams on campus as well. But, you know, it is a bit of a head-scratcher at the moment. And we'll see again. June 21st through 23rd is going to be a very important weekend for me in terms of what that safety room turns out looking like.
Jerry, your thoughts on this, because Cade Phillips seems to be the guy that they had, you know, earmarked even more so than Jonah Williams to be. I know Jonah Williams is considered a five-star, but he's not really a safety per se. Cade Phillips seems to be the guy that they've been in on for the longest, but they also like Nathan Tillman after reevaluating. What are your thoughts on safety?
Look, I love Nathan Tillman. You hope that visit happens. That's expected to happen for Texas. I mean, when that is, we'll find out. I mean, guy's 185 pounds and ran 10.7 and plays safety. Those are guys you want in the program. Great early evaluation by SMU, listening to that Mansfield Timberview staff early on. Cade Phillips, prototype guy, 6'2", 180, long arms, big hands, at LSU this weekend. It's a Texas or LSU battle. There's some people in his circle that really like the idea of Texas. We'll see what idea Cade Phillips likes after the next two weekends. But I think Texas will be fine there. You know, what CJ said has a lot of merit. Adding Filsaime, Jordan Johnson-Rebell, and then you see what you can add out of the portal at that position as well. I think Texas is going to be okay there. And again, I'm going to speak the why here coming up in our closing kind of statements.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and do that now. I mean, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the team And the one thing I want to say about the team, and I'll go ahead and get this off, then we finish up with a recruiting because we're running a little bit longer than anticipated. The thing about the team right now that I find interesting is Silas Bolden, Jerry, and I mentioned this on Coffee and Football this morning, and I even talked about it yesterday on TexasFootball.com. He has added a level of excitement to the room, to the wide receiver room, as well as a level of experience and work ethic.
Yeah.
That, and I don't want to say this to take it wrong. Like Matthew Golden and Isaiah Bond are good workers, right? But they were the elder statesmen of that room. Jonte Cook was a younger guy, right? What Silas Bolden, I'm being told, has added in the first 10 days has really amped up the intensity level, maybe is the best way to put it. I mean, literally, they used the term just what the doctor ordered. What was the other one I had? Oh, it was a wake-up call to the wide receivers. No fewer mental errors, hopefully. That's something to look for that I think is really good. And it doesn't mean the young guys like DeAndre Moore and Jonte Cook weren't hard workers or anything like that. Sometimes you need a fresh face to reinvigorate and re-intensify the concentration, et cetera. The other thing I want to mention is Andrew Makuba continues to get high marks for his consistency, and a high level of play. All right, let's go back to recruiting now and finish off with this. Jerry, you said you had some final thoughts on it. What are those that you want to share?
Yeah, so I wrote down seven names throughout this now 35 minutes. Ryan Wingo, Brandon Baker, Kobe Black, Xavier Filsimi, Aaron Butler, Wardell Mack, and Ty Anthony Smith. So when we talk about Steve Sarkisian recruiting through the whistle, I think when June sometimes we get caught up in the official visits, which we report on, right? We are the people that report on this, so we're the people that bring it to the fans. But I think the instant gratification, right, that we are all a part of in recruiting comes into play in June and early July. So just take it through that list last year. All right, Texas, behind the scenes, they knew it was them or Missouri battling for Ryan Wingo. Brandon Baker, they knew it was them or Ohio State, and they had a good shot. Kobe Black, Texas always thought they led, but he took it farther than Texas thought. But here's the four. The other four, really my point here. Xavier Filsimi was a flip from Florida. Wardell Mack was a flip from Florida. Ty Anthony Smith was a flip from A&M after the coaching change. And Aaron Butler ended up flipping from Colorado, but that was a late offer. So you had two guys, Filsimi and Butler, who are two of the top 150 prospects in the country, didn't even have offers from Texas at this time a year ago. Then you had Ty Anthony Smith, who they never got in for a June official visit, but they waited on the coaching carousel and ended up getting him late, and he's going to end up being a really damn good player. Wardell Mack and Filsimi, you made the most of the almost coaching carousel in Gainesville, or getting ahead of the coaching carousel in Gainesville. Flip those two guys. So Sark's going to recruit through the whistle. There's going to be a couple of guys that aren't on the radar right now that will become on the radar. We know this from past classes. And there's going to be two or three guys that Texas is going to stick on and keep fighting on. So if they only come away with two D linemen, that doesn't mean they're only going to sign two D linemen. They're going to find a really good player. Maybe it's through the coaching carousel. Maybe it's through somebody who reopens the recruitment that they end up flipping. But it's hard to be patient in June, headed into July and recruiting for fans. I get it. But, and this isn't saying Texas isn't going to close well. I think Texas is going to close well. But I'm saying that to say this. Let's not forget about what Sark's done in the past and how they go about recruiting. Because I think it's right now, it's easy to forget about that. And kind of this helps kind of some context of that. Filsimi and Aaron Butler didn't even have offers a year ago. Filsimi was a top 100 player in the country. Some people had him top 50 in the country. He ends up flipping to Texas. Wardell Mack flip. Ty Anthony Smith flip. So the fun part of recruiting in June is right now the official visits and the commitments in July. Then the next fun part of the recruiting process for fans is Sark and these guys aren't done in July. They're going to fill more needs.
All right. I want to add this, and I think this will be a difference maker too. CJ mentioned his name. That's Johnny Nansen.
Yeah.
He has proven himself in the portal already.
Yes.
Right? I mean, sincerely. I mean, really done a great job. All three of those defensive linemen are connected to Johnny Nansen that Texas got in the portal. All these guys out west, it's been a renewed emphasis in the state of California, right? Even with Jeff Banks and Chris Jackson having ties out there, as well as Steve Sarkisian, it's taken Johnny Nansen to prioritize recruiting out there to really bring in high volume of players coming in, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, right? Which is interesting, because when I thought going out to California, you thought you'd see more skill players on offense, right? It's really been on the defensive side of the ball. That's kind of interesting to me. So I think that will help Texas maybe close a little bit more and be involved with more players out west. And that's something I'm looking forward to seeing, whether or not they can close the deal on a Josiah Charm, for example. That would be a big lick for Texas in this recruiting class. All right, that's going to do it for this week's State of the Program. We appreciate, once again, Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm for his ongoing sponsorship. If you've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, motorcycle, or ATV accident and think you might be due compensation, just reach out to Adam over at thelowylawfirm.com. All right, for Jerry Hamilton and CJ Vogel, I'm Bobby Burton. It's been this episode of State of the Program. Hook up.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.